They immediately think of dual stack, and it's sort of like people put equation between IPv6 and dual stack and think that dual stack is the best. It sort of is, except for one tiny detail, and that is the one in the bottom, that basically by using dual stack, you are not addressing the problem why IPv6 was deployed in the first place, and that is addressing of scarcity of IPv4. Therefore, there are some other transition mechanisms, I think it's too much. There are some other transition mechanisms that can help you with this thing, and one that stands out is called NAT64. And yeah, we are at this event where the network uses NAT64 for the default network since 2015, if I remember correctly. How does it work? Well, for IPv6 it's easy, the path is clear. For IPv4 the path goes via translation box that is called NAT64 box into IPv4 internet. This works very well. You can see it that, yeah, you can use it basically mostly for most networks, but sometimes you can hit some very corner cases for which for some people could be very noticeable, but for some people can be like critical. Usually it starts giving you hard time when you start playing with virtual machine or containers on your computer. Then usually those kinds of software are usually relying on IPv4 connectivity, that native IPv4 connectivity that is not available. So there is another standard called 464X LUT, which tries to closing the gap by editing a piece of software on the computer. The piece of software is called CLUT, and in that sort of like reverse translation to what NAT64 does, which is called PLUT in this case, by this trick of double translation, first IPv4 into IPv6 here, and then transferring via IPv6 to another translator that translates IPv6 back to IPv4, we can have applications super happy because they see sort of like dual stack, they see both IPv4 and IPv6, and everything works well. This is a technology that is very well used in many devices, but not in Linux. So I put there a slide with some typical cases of what you plug into networks and how do they work on V6 only network, like the main network here, the one that is called FOSDEM. If you connect your Android phone, your iOS device, or your macOS computer, it should work fully. These three categories have CLUT there, and also there are mobile networks in the world who are running V6 only for their mobile phones, like for millions. I said billions on the slide, maybe it's just millions, but it doesn't really matter. Lots of devices, all these devices into one network, and yet not waste IPv4 address for every single device that is in the leftmost category, which objectively doesn't need it. That's the question here, and the answer for this is the quite recent RFC, which introduced a new feature to DHCP, the old DHCP protocol that is used for IPv4. And this option is called IPv6 only preferred. And it works like this. If you have a standard, every time a device attached to a network, it starts this DHCP handshake. It has these four messages, discover, offer, request, and acknowledge. And the device, if the device is capable of running IPv6 only, it will just signal this in the request parameter list, it's the option 108. And if the DHCP server is ignoring it and does not send the option 108 back in the offer, that means the network is not capable of running IPv6 only, therefore it will use normal DHCP and it will use normal IPv4. This is the case of the most networks. But what if the server actually offers something in the DHCP offer? In that case, the device says, oh, that means I'm in a network which does not need IPv4 for operation, and therefore I will just stop the handshake here. Because the handshake is stopped midway, it means the address is not committed, the address will be released after some timeout and not used, and therefore the address will be saved in the DHCP pool. That's exactly how you define network that has a name. The most stable name is IPv6 mostly. IPv6 mostly doesn't mean that it's most. It means that the network is designed to run IPv6 only, but still have some IPv4 for legacy devices like Windows or Linux or smart home. Such network has to provide perfectly working IPv6, and the IPv6 have to have NAT64 support. Ideally, there should be signaled NAT64 support with this PREF64 option, which is an option in router advertisement. So when you attach to network, you receive router advertisement, and you immediately know that there is NAT64 and how you configure it. And also must provide native IPv4 for the legacy devices, so everything works. Yeah, this was like, sorry, I'm a little rushing into it, but yeah, I want to focus on the main point of this talk, which is Linux on IPv6 only. Basically, how to move Linux from the second category, works mostly, into the first category, works perfectly. What are the gaps that needs to be closed to have Linux not depend on native IPv4? There are basically two options how to tackle this problem, and we somehow has to have D. And it turns out systemd network D has sort of like unsensible default that it's actually on by default. So systemd network D in the latest version is refusing VE4, even though it doesn't set up CLAT. So it makes your computer sort of broken. But it has been reported, and hopefully it will be fixed one way or another. Now, how you learn CLAT on your computer? Bad news is there is no native way of translating V4 into V6 inside Linux kernel. So unlike BSD, for instance, it's not possible. The good thing is there are at least four software solutions that are like third party but can be run easily. First two of them are User Space. They use the TuneTab device and they all work in User Space. The next two, Net46 and Joule, are actually kernel space, so you can just compile the kernel module, install it, and it works. There's also Perl script called CLATD, which takes care of setting up CLAT. It works sort of okay, but it has some limitations that are making it not universally accessible and not something that will be in every single distribution. The biggest issue here is that it works like this, that the CLAT is sort of like on a stick. It's a separate network interface. That means that to make it work, you sort of have to set up router in your computer and also set up firewall to allow traffic between two interfaces on your computer. And not only this, you have to also undo it once you want to turn off CLAT. And just imagine the diversity of Linux distributions. This is virtually impossible to do correct way. So I don't think this is going to fly. What is supposed to fly, ideal CLAT should look like this. It should support multiple instances, so you can have more interfaces. More interfaces can be connected to different IPv6-only networks, so maybe you can have more instances of CLAT. It should set up automatically as soon as you detect NAT64, and it should, that is key point also, react dynamically to change. IPv6 has changing protocol. It supports dynamic renumbering of the networks and all those things that can happen dynamically. So it's not like you run it once and then it stays. It has to react on all the dynamic changes on the network. And it shouldn't need to touch firewall or forwarding. There's actually a draft in IETF that is being worked on right now, setting up the requirement for CLAT. So I was discussing with many people how such a CLAT could work, and I found out this solution that I'm quite happy with it, and that's why I'm presenting it here. It basically uses IPVLAN and network namespaces. So the thing is, you run the translator inside the network namespace to you, and I hope some of you can maybe pick up on it, is that I'm missing the piece of software that will orchestrate it, that will listen to Netlink events, see that there is a new router that has NAT64, set up an IPv6 address for it, finds a free address for the translation space from IPv4. We have another IPv4 scarcity. There are only 8 addresses assigned for CLATs. So you can realistically run about 4 CLATs. If you are very creative, you can maybe run a little bit more. But to be honest, 4 instances of CLAT should be okay. But the problem is you have to always dynamically figure out which addressing the CLAT should use and react to subsequent configurations. And of course, my goal is to have this in common Linux distributions, which means hopefully Network Manager will pick this up, hopefully systemd network D, and this will make the life of on IPv6 own network on Linux much nicer. That's everything for me. If there's any question.
Hello. Excellent presentation and work. One question. Have you figured out how macOS X does it?
Yes. macOS does it by the CLUT is actually integrated in the network interface. So from application point of view, you see a network card that has this VIR address 192.0.0.2. Just have a look. If you have Mac, we will see it on this network. And if you use Wireshark and look what is getting out of the network card, it's just IPv6. So basically, the translation happens between what application sends to it and what gets out of the on the wire.
So is it a kernel implementation or is it?
It's in the kernel, and it's you know, because it's part of the network interface, it can be even duplicated if you have multiple interfaces active. Both each one has its own instance of CLUT.
Actually, two questions. First, do you know how Android is doing it? Because it's a bit closer to common Linux distributions. And also, is there an argument against doing it in the kernel, or is it just a case of nobody having done it yet?
Sorry, I missed the first question.
How is Android doing it? And is there an argument against doing it in the kernel, or is it just that nobody did it?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Far?
How is the Android doing it? Android is doing it similar way. They have several generations, and the last part of the Android code is heavily using this three-letter acronym of network code that I don't remember. EB. Thank you.
Sorry, we are out of time.